Very pleasant good day to you.
Our theme verse for this year is all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished into every good work. That tells us that we need to be complete, that we need to be perfect, that we need to be fully equipped to answer the questions that might come our way. To cherish the book and read it only is not all that we must do. We must be ready to answer those who have error in regards to things of, and certainly in regards to salvation. We've been talking for a couple of weeks about various different myths about salvation. In the illustration here, you have the truth that is going in one direction and all the various different myths that are going in the other direction. Our purpose in these lessons is to examine and reprove these myths, not in light of opinion, not in light of what seems right to me or you, but in light of what God's Word has to say. And what I think all this points to is a necessity that we have in regards to the authority of the Scripture. Let's point out a few verses before we get into it. Many try to enter in by the broad way. That seems to be the easiest way for many. Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, "Enter in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it." You'd think from the way we see things in the world religiously today that the most popular way is the way that you should go. The way that more crowds are going is the way that you should go. But in fact, when it comes to matters of authority and matters of religious nature, it is a narrow gate, and few there be who find it. The doctrines of men have turned people away from God since the days of Isaiah. Matthew records this in chapter 15, verse 8 and 9, where he describes the people that they draw near to him with their mouth, they honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. He says they in vain or with emptiness worship him, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. It's not important what God says. Let's don't cherish what God says. Let's do what we in the doctrines of men feel are important. He says that's an empty kind of existence in worship. Many are not diligent with their convictions. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you take your Bibles that you cherish and you rightly divide the truth of that, and you understand it, that's what it means, to put it in perspective, to see it in context, to examine it as it was intended to be examined, then you will find your answers. But you've got to be diligent to do that. You've got to be diligent to show yourself approved of God. So it's not just something I do haphazardly. We need to, in fact, have a simple challenge that's given to all of us. Acts 17 and verse 11. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Why? In that they received the word with all readiness. They were ready to hear it. And searched the Scriptures. They searched them. They were into them on a daily basis to find out whether these things were so. So it doesn't really matter if it's the myth that we're talking about today or some other type of doctrine in regards to Christianity. We've got to search and say, even if it comes from the pulpit where we sit, we need to ask, is this in fact the Word of God? And the myth we're going to examine today in light of Scripture is the one that people say, I'm saved by grace alone. Very popular kind of statement. I'm saved by grace alone. There's nothing that can save you except the grace of God. Indeed, the grace of God is a great part of that, but we need to understand this better. In the interest of time, we won't look at this entire quote, but here's one quote from the internet here by Rindingbarger. He says, if the Scriptures are clear that men and women are sinful by nature and cannot do anything to save themselves or even prepare themselves to be saved, the Scriptures are equally clear that it is God who saves by grace alone, through faith alone, on the account of Christ alone. Well, his first premise is wrong, and its concluding thought is wrong. Let's look at another connection here. This particular person, Sam Hewley, says in the highlighted text, no true evangelical Christian, you're not true if you claim that your salvation did not come to them entirely by the grace of God alone. You're some counterfeit. You come dangerously close to the hearsay taught by the Roman Catholic Church and others, and that the grace of God must be coupled with something that I do in order for me to be saved. That's the position. I only can be saved by the grace of God, and there's nothing I can do in regards to that. I'm saved by grace alone is our proposition for this morning. Well, let's do like our passage says for this year. Let's begin to reprove that. That's what all in scriptures are inspired to do. So let's reprove that with some statements and short verses. If we are saved by grace alone, if that is true, that we're saved by grace alone, then what about faith? Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, they often go to, for by grace you have been saved. Let's stop right there. The whole story's done. No, it's not. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of the works, with anything you should boast. But what do you do with faith? If we're saved by grace through faith, that's what the Scriptures teach. Well, let's propose this. If we're saved by grace alone, then what about faith, we ask again. Mark this verse down. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 26. There are many of you who have been interested in this series. You can have copies of it if you're unable to keep up along the way. But certainly if you have pen and paper, you can write these things down as terribly as you have said you have done, because you want to be able to examine this. He says in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God apart from law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Well, there's no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and being justified freely by His grace, yes, that's there, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, the how, whom God sent forth as a propitiation by His blood. In what manner do I accept it? Through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because His forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed. And as we come to the bottom, the one who has faith in Jesus is what's being signified, significant. Well, let's look at another reproof. If we are saved by grace alone, it's just by grace alone, then why then are not all men saved? Because those who espouse this doctrine say that not all are saved, all are born in sin, and that only some are saved. If it's by God's grace, then He does not have mercy and favor upon all. Titus 2, verse 11 and 15. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that's all there is. You have grace of God. Notice here, teaching us that denying something you need to do, ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God. Don't you think something's involved in that? Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people. For what purpose? Zealous for good works. His grace is equally as bestowed upon all, but the works are part of that zeal. If we're saved by grace alone, why then are not all men saved? Same kind of idea. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. But you get picky and say only some have the grace of God that are saved. Acts 13:46. He says later on in the verse, but since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, the whole we turn to the Gentile. So if you don't accept what's freely given, meaning you have been presented with it, it can be turned to be presented freely to somebody else. If we're saved by grace alone, again, why then are not all men saved? Verse 16 of chapter 10. Look at the one highlight. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. So why are not all people by grace saved? Because not all have obeyed the gospel. If we're saved by grace, I say again alone, why then are not all men saved? 1 Peter 4, verse 17 says, the judgment to begin at the house of God begins with us first. What will it be to the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? But I didn't think you had to do anything. That is a truth that answers the myth. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8, also those who would be found in judgment, flaming fire, it says it's going to happen on those who do not obey the gospel. If we're saved by grace alone, I present to you this reproof. Then why did Paul and Silas even answer the Philippian jailer the way they did? Acts 16, 30 through 34, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You're saved by the grace of God. That's not what he said, or what they said. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. They spoke to them the word of the Lord and all of his house. They washed their stripes. Immediately his family was baptized. He rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. And that's a general reproof. You see the same thing there in Romans 6, verse 4 through 6. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. I thought it was just by grace alone. But just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's a walk we are to obtain. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. If grace were sufficient enough, grace alone saves, then why didn't it work in that case? If we're saved by grace alone, how is it the man can fall from grace and need restoration with the help of other men, reproving them and turning them away from the error of the way? That's how we started the lesson. Galatians 5, verse 4, you have become estranged, you're a stranger from Christ, you're separated from Christ, you have attempted to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. So that which I am given is taken away. James 5, 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. We have perfect proof of that even today. Discipline works. Someone was shown the error. Someone helped to turn them back. They chose to make correction. If grace is just there, and grace is all you need, and that's all you need from here to eternity, then what does it mean that you're fallen? Let's look at a few short case studies. First, let's take Noah. By this, we've given the reproof. But let's look at some examples. Show me some examples. Well, first one I'd say is Noah, Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, all right? Hebrews 11, 7, by faith being divinely warned of things not yet seen, so faith is part of it,
moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to save his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So we see there that according to faith he did these things. He was divinely warned of God, and by faith he did those things that he needed to do. Let's turn to this passage, 1 Peter chapter 3. Sometimes they're long, but this one's fairly short, and I'd like to look at it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 through 22. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, when the once divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah. They had their opportunity. While the ark was being prepared, they had their opportunity. In which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved. I was saved by the grace of God, yes. But it goes further than saying they were saved through water. There is also an antitype, a like figure, something similar to that, that now saves us, baptism. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience towards God. So we see it was not just by grace alone he built the ark. It was not just by grace alone that we are saved, we're baptized. In that example there. Let's talk about Abraham in short here. Romans 4, 1 through 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So people are boasting in the wrong things. If you boast about all you've done, there's a problem, and that's what's being pointed out. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But they had that. Notice Abraham. Abraham in Hebrews 11, to scan over this, by faith Abraham obeyed. Something done. By faith he went out. Something done. By faith he dwelt in. Something done. By faith he offered up Isaac. By faith he did something. Faith acting together with one's belief effects faith and grace and salvation. The other just allows for nothing else to be done. We'll not read all this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 through 12. Says he has saved us, called us with the holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us by Christ before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of Gentiles. Notice this. For this reason I suffer these things. He shouldn't have to. It was all by grace. But I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until the last day. Acts 9, verse 6. And trembling and astonished, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord said to him, by grace you've been saved. That's all you need. Grace alone. No, he was told to rise and go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Acts 22 and 16. Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, call it on the name of the Lord, was what he was told to do. Have you done that? Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed. Why do you obey? Because of the grace of God, what God's given you.
Not only in His presence was He there, but now much more in my absence. What's this say right here, Philippians 2:12? It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will to do His good pleasure. You've got a part. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith, through obedient faith. Can you see that? It's not some hobby horse we ride. It's just pointing out the difference between truth and myth. What about the apostles and the first converts? Acts 15:6-11. Talk about the elders and the apostles coming together, and there was a dispute that was amongst them, and they began to talk about how God had worked with a couple of them. It says that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. The grace was that He was sent to them, that they heard and believed. Grace is the start. Without it, I never need to believe. I never need to do. But if I don't believe and do, I've rejected the grace. Look at verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. He's saying, we Jews will be saved in the same way the Gentiles were. Well, how are they saved? By grace? Yes. By faith? Yes. By obedience? Yes. We can turn to Matthew 10 where Jesus said, confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you can't even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can't accept the grace. Faith and repentance. Repentance is important because you've got to change your way. But faith and repentance is a mental ascent. I don't know you have faith. I don't know you've repented. Until you tell me what you have faith in. It's a neglected commandment. And you'll know when I ask somebody, I say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And are you willing to commit? But sometimes it's just, yeah, yep, yep. Do you know what it involves? You can't start to build this tower without a commitment to finish it. Acts 2:38-47. First of those to hear the gospel and repent. Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, to your children, to all who are far off, as many as our God shall call. That's grace. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, aren't you glad you got the grace of God? No, he said, be saved from this perverse generation. You've got to do something. You've got to do something to be saved from this perverse generation. And as a result of them being told they've got to be saved from this perverse generation, those that gladly received the word says, I'm glad for the grace of God saved me alone. And that guy says we're not true Christians if we believe that grace is received by those who gladly receive His word and are baptized. And then the day, 3,000 souls were added to them. And verse 40 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. We can look at Acts chapter 10. Speaking of the Gentiles there. Those of the circumcision who believed. In our same context as earlier before where they were talking about it in the Jerusalem gathering. Notice verse 47. After all this had taken place and Peter was convinced the gospel had gone to these people, verse 47 he says, can any man forbid water? Why do we need water? We're saved by grace alone, Gentile folk. Cornelius, you've already been saved. I didn't even come up here. That these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have, and have commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him,
Why don't you know that by our grace you can stay? That's offered. The invitation is offered to stay. But they had to accept it and do something and stay in the house. Visit with it. You see it there, or can you see it in the rest of it? Luke 17, verse 10. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you're commanded. Well, what do you say? We've got to do these works. We've got to do these commands. When is it going to stop you, people? When do I stop doing all these commands? What's command number one? Command number two? Just tell me. Well, when you've been to the church forever and you've done everything you're supposed to do, everything, you are still unprofitable. So what's that mean? We have done what was our duty to do. You still could not have had any of it without the grace of God. You're still an unprofitable servant. But aren't you glad He gave you the right through His grace to be a servant? Hebrews 5:8-9, though He was a son, yet He learned obedience. Speaking of Christ, by the thing which He suffered. And having been perfected, He became the author and eternal of salvation to all who obey Him. Are you ready this morning to obey the gospel of Christ? We urge you to do what you need to do to make your life right with Him. You are given the grace of God, the love of God, the peace that passeth all understanding comes through the obedience. If you know what you need to do this morning to be saved, if you know you need to be baptized, if you know what you need to do, we'd encourage you to do that. If you need the prayers of the congregation, maybe you wandered as our couple did a while ago and come back, then we urge you to come back to the Lord. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.